Lord God, this is your word eternal and unchanged and unchanging. We pray that you would help us receive it as your word, to believe it as your revelation, to understand it by your spirit, and to embrace it by faith. In your name, for your glory and our good. Amen. Well, our passage this morning, as Jackie read it for us, was all about faith. Faith or belief is at the very center of this passage. And as we think about going deeper in faith, I've been struck this past week by how often in the news faith has come up. And let me share just three examples, and there'll be a picture or two on the screen behind me. Firstly, from Japan. You may have seen the news from Japan, these devastating floods which have left millions evacuated from their homes and many people killed. And I read this on the BBC News website. The pictures showed extensive damage, especially in the Okayama district. People believe Okayama is very safe. Nobody thought that this would happen to this city, local resident Yusuke Fuji told the BBC. People believe Okayama was safe. The second example, Mike's already mentioned it in his prayers, was from Thailand. And you may have been following, many of us were following the news of this, this football team that became trapped 3 kilometers inside a cave complex trapped by the flooding water. And from that cave, the boys were able to write little letters to their parents. And the top one there was from a boy called Tan to his mother. And this is what he wrote. He said, "Mum and Dad, don't worry about me. I'm fine. Tell my brother to get ready to bring me fried chicken. Love you." You can see what his thought. And as you look through the letters, so many of them did mention particular foods. But what I want to focus on, the letter at the bottom, written by his mother back to him. She wrote this. She said, "Tan, I'm waiting for you in front of the cave. I love you, son, and I miss you a lot. You should be patient and willing to fight and be strong. I am waiting for you outside. You can make it. I believe you can make it. I give you all my support. Love you loads." Do you spot the faith? I believe you can make it. And that letter taken from the mother by the divers into the cave and given to the son. The third example, and the last one, is from the World Cup. You probably didn't expect we'd get through a whole service without football. Well, here it is. This was, I had a different sermon, by the way, at half time on Wednesday. But anyway, this is what we've got today. Prince William wrote to the football team after that defeat, and he wrote this: "I know how disappointed England must feel right now, but I couldn't be more proud of the team and how you should hold your heads high. You've had an incredible World Cup, made history, and gave us fans something to believe in." We know there's more to come. Something to believe in. And in each one of those three stories this week, in Japan, in Thailand, the England football team, belief, faith kept coming up. And this morning we're thinking about our faith as Christians. And I wonder, how different is our faith to the faith and the belief that we've seen in those news stories? How is it distinctive? Sometimes people say to us, maybe say to you, "I admire your faith." Someone said to me the other week, "I wish I had your faith." Someone has asked me recently, "Can you help me to find faith?" What is it that we are talking about when we speak of our Christian faith? How can we go deeper in that faith? Now, the letter we're looking at, 1 John chapter 5, was written 1 John was written very specifically for Christians to grow in their faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the verse after where Jackie finished. John said this: "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. He's writing to them to encourage them, to urge them, to inspire them to go deeper in their faith. They believe now, go on deeper. Keep on believing. Go deeper in your belief and your knowledge of God. And so this morning I want to just look at the, hopefully you have one of these yellow sheets, maybe somewhere near you that might be helpful for you as we go through this. But there are three questions that I want to look at briefly this morning. What do we believe? How do we believe? And why do we believe? And we'll look at those. What are John's answers? Not what are the Thai cave divers or Prince William, or what does John say about belief and about faith and what it's all about? So firstly, what do we believe? Well, from our first story this morning, we can see that what we believe matters. For some of those residents of Okayama, they believed they were safe and therefore didn't obey the warnings or didn't make preparations. And for them, that was fatal. They believed something that turned out not to be true. And we know, more generally in our lives, that what we believe matters and has consequences. So what is it that we believe? Well, there are three things that John says in this passage about belief. Firstly, in verse 1, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. In verse 5, he says, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God will overcome the world. And in the last few verses, verses 10 to 12, whoever believes in the Son of God accepts his testimony. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. And so those three things on the screen, and that's what John summarizes our faith in this passage for us as. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the one the Old Testament spoke of, the Messiah, the one who would come and set us free, the one who would put us right with God. And we're celebrating on our communion service this morning the truth of that statement. Jesus is the Christ, come to give his life as a ransom for many. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, fully God and fully human, the Word become flesh and making his dwelling amongst us. We believe that Jesus is the source and sustainer of life. I've come, said Jesus, that they may have life and have it to the full. What do we believe? What do we believe? Well, it seems as though John would almost have us say it's not so much a what as a who. Who do we believe? We believe in the person of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the one chosen by God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the place we find life and light and hope and joy. So how can we go deeper in our faith today? Well, we can begin here. We can begin here by checking that our focus is in the right place, that we're believing the right thing. We're believing the correct person. Is my focus still on Jesus? Or has my faith perhaps become complicated, distracted by noise, drawn aside from the focus that God called us to first? I had a minister in a church in London who loved this saying. He said, almost every Sunday, you never graduate from the cross. You never graduate from the cross. We've got two crosses here this morning. We never graduate from the cross. We never get too good, too mature, too clever to not come back and just simply come to the cross and accept again what Jesus has done for us. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, says John. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I know that. No surprises here. It's a very simple message. Well, remind you again that John was writing to Christians. John knew that we are so easily pushed off track, so easily distracted, so easily blown off course and away from remembering that the heart of our faith is the person of Jesus. So this morning, let's recommit ourselves to fixing our eyes on Jesus, to check, what is it that I am believing this morning? What is it that gives me hope, comfort, joy, life? John would point us to Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you're not convinced by what's being talked about, then can I encourage you that it is all about this question: what do you make of Jesus? Many things that we can get caught up on, but at its heart, at its root, our faith, our belief is all about the person of Jesus. So I encourage you maybe to explore, what is it? What do you make of Jesus? So what do we believe? Secondly, how do we believe? How do we believe? Is it enough simply to have agreed to what I've just been saying about Jesus? Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the source and sustainer of life. Tick those three boxes. I'm done now. I've believed those things. That's it. Is it enough? How is our faith to be worked out? And I was thinking about those Thai parents. And as they were there at the front of that cave, they could do nothing other than wait and hope and perhaps believe, or maybe doubt, that their kids would ever come back out. They could do nothing. The fate of their children lay in the hands of those divers, those Navy SEALs, and the others who were inside the cave. Is that a picture of Christian faith? That we are essentially passive, inactive, just hoping, willing for the best, but not actually needing to do anything? Well, look at what John says in verses 2 to 5 of our passage. John, it's very interesting. John very quickly moves. He talks about believing in verse 1 that Jesus is the Christ. In verse 2, he immediately moves on to speak about loving. Loving God. Loving the children of God. And obeying God's commands. You see, for John, to love, to believe, to love, and to obey are three tightly interwoven things, inseparable from one another. If we believe Jesus is the Christ, says John, we will also love God. We will love others. And if we believe Jesus is the Christ, we will obey God. We will obey his commands. By faith, you're a child of God. As a child of God, you love him and you want to obey him. His commands, says John, are not burdensome, for everyone born of God, in verse 3, overcomes the world. You see, John's saying to us, don't be mistaken that God's commands are there to restrict us, are there to annoy us. No, they're there because God loves us, cares for us, wants the best for us, and he's given us the means in his Holy Spirit to keep those commands. So how can we go deeper in our faith? John wants us, I think, to recognize the connection between believing and loving and obeying. And we have to be careful, don't we? It's not that we obey God and therefore he likes us. It's not that at all. Martin Luther said it like this. He said, we're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. It's faith that saves us. But faith that's genuinely saved us will always be accompanied with love and obedience. And so this morning, if we wanted to ask ourselves, is my faith growing? Am I going deeper in faith? You could actually ask yourself instead, well, am I loving people more? Am I, even the people I struggle to love, perhaps especially the people I struggle to love, am I more kind, more merciful, more ready to forgive? Am I obeying God's commands more? These will be indicators of our faith growing and growing deeper. So how do we believe? We don't just sit and hope for the best. John is encouraging us. Actually, we believe. Let's get on then with loving and obeying. loving the people around you. And that's as simple as being next to somebody this morning and thinking of a way you could practically express care and concern for that person. Something that we can all do. Now, we're not left stranded outside a cave, hopelessly just hoping for the best. We have things to do and to be about, loving and obeying. How do we believe? Well, we believe, we love, we obey. Those three go together for John. Finally then, the why question. We had Prince William's message to the English football team. And Prince William said, "You've given us something to believe in. You've given us a reason to believe. You've given us something that we are excited about following and believing." And we know, don't we, that many in our culture today aren't interested in religion or in faith. Many people are more interested in other things than in coming to a church or in believing in a God. Now, in John's time, things were much the same. There were many around the church that he was writing to here who would be opposed to the Christian faith. And did you notice what in verses 6 to 11, do you notice what John does? What John does is he lays out three reasons to believe. He says, "This is why I believe. These are the testimonies, the evidences that I'm believing in." Three reasons that John gives. And it's a real encouragement for me that John does this. Our faith is not a blind faith. The author and the church leader John Stott wrote this. I think we've got it on the screen. He said, "Faith is not burying our heads in the sand or screwing ourselves up to believe what we know is not true or even whistling in the dark to keep our spirits up. On the contrary, faith is a reasoning trust. There can be no believing without thinking." And if John Stott wanted a passage to base that on, he could use this one. John gives us three reasons why he believes. He says, "I believe the testimony that we have in front of us." There are three that testify in verse 7. And it may be that as we heard it read earlier, you were somewhat confused by that passage. And it is a little bit confusing. Those who first heard it, I suspect, knew exactly what John was talking about. We have to do a bit more work to try and figure it out. But here's what I think it's about. In verse 6, John talks about the one who came by water and blood. Not by water only, but by water and blood. Well, what's that about? I think water is speaking about Jesus' baptism. When he was baptized, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, and God said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Jesus came by water in baptism into ministry. Jesus came by blood. Well, we have symbols before us this morning. Jesus' death on the cross. When Jesus declared on the cross, "It is finished. The price has been paid." Jesus came by water in baptism. Jesus came by blood at the cross. And if we think that John, who wrote this letter, was the John who wrote the Gospel of John, then he was there at the baptism and at the cross. He was there. He saw these events happen. And so as John speaks of Jesus coming by water and by blood, by in the power of baptism and in the weakness of the cross, not only the power without the weakness, but both together, this is John's personal testimony to how he's seen God at work in Jesus coming by water, coming by blood, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, testifying the truth of both of those things. So John's faith then, based on that undeniable historical truth that Jesus came to be baptized, to ministry, lived, and ministered and died on a cross, rose again from the dead, and the Spirit of truth agrees with that testimony. Why do we believe? Maybe, like me, your story is a combination of some different factors. There are a number of reasons why you are here this morning, sat in a church rather than sunbathing in a park. For me, I found truth in the stories about Jesus that I read in this Bible. And then I saw that truth worked out, acted out, lived out in the lives of Christians in some of the local churches I was visiting. And I think looking back, the Spirit was using both the words here and the lives of those people to draw me to faith. And you will have your own story. In our home group, 3 weeks ago, we shared with one another around the room something of our stories. And it was wonderful to hear the different places that people had come from and the ways that God has used to draw us to faith. And by the way, if you're not part of a home group, really encourage you to be connected with one. They're wonderful places for us to grow. But on the sheets at the bottom, there's a box and it says, "Why do I believe?" And I was going to leave that with you as a challenge. You might like to go maybe this afternoon, maybe no one's interested in the football anymore, so at 4 o'clock you could have a go at writing. What would you say? How would you describe the way that God drew you to faith? John has his three witnesses that he looked to, the reason why he believed. What are your reasons? And maybe thinking back to that first time where you came to believe that, yes, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the place, the source, sustainer of life. And that might be something helpful for you to do, because it's easy for us to drift by without thinking and without looking back on what God has done for us. So I encourage you to take that away and maybe have a go at writing something in that box tonight or over the next few days. But are we coming to communion this morning? And by the way, next week, I'm quite excited about next week and the next few weeks, we're going to go back to the story of Ruth. And we're going to look at the life of that character in the Old Testament and how her life of faith was shaped by circumstances around her and how she responded. I think it will be a really encouraging series for us starting next week about the real practical outworking of faith in our lives. So I'm looking forward to that. But as we come to communion this morning, as we gather around this table and we have this meal set before us, we can perhaps ask God today for fresh encouragement, for fresh reasons to believe. Maybe your "Why do I believe" box might look a bit thin, and you might want to pray, ask God this morning to encourage you afresh, maybe give you renewed confidence in the truth of the baptism, of the crucifixion, of the resurrection of Jesus, those historical realities that we believe in. Maybe asking God for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit as we receive communion to assure us of the reality of what we believe, to help us go deeper in our faith today. How can we go deeper in faith? Well, thinking about what we believe. Is our focus firmly on the person of Jesus? Thinking about how we believe, working out our belief in love and in obedience. And thinking again about why we believe, our testimony, the reason that we're here.